Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own people and the chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, next year will be the 100th anniversary of Pope Pius XI writing his encyclical on the kingship of Christ. So this year is 99 years since he wrote it. And as I reflect on that encyclical, I'm inspired, I'm reminded how timely and how critical this encyclical was in 1925. It's also the year he wrote an encyclical condemning communism. But one of the key points that he wrote in his encyclical on the kingship of Christ was to lament the fact that one nation after another was dethroning Christ from their country. I know that sounds kind of stark and blunt, doesn't it? Dethroning Christ from their country. But that's the sad reality. And unfortunately, it has continued even more. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a single country that acknowledges that Christ is the King. And I'm talking about its government. But this is the very point that Pope Pius XI was making in his encyclical. He should not only be the King of us individually and the King of our families and the King of our parish, he is also to be the King of the country. Why? Because everything belongs to him. And not only that, he has paid in his blood for that prerogative, you might say. Does that mean that we become a theocracy? No, it doesn't. It's not like it was in the Old Testament where essentially, the Jewish people were a theocracy. In other words, church and state were one and the same thing. There are divisions of powers. There's the spiritual and the temporal. And last Sunday, we heard our Lord saying when the coin of the tribute was shown to him, remember they were trying to trip our Lord up into saying, don't pay the taxes. And our Lord said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but render to God the things that are God's. What our Lord was saying is that in temporal matters, he has made the state supreme, in temporal matters. But supreme does not mean absolute. Even the state must be subject to God. And whatever laws it passes, it must be subject to God. But in terms of who the highest authority on earth is, that would be the state. In temporal matters only. And the church, and we're talking about the authority of a true pope, bishops over their dioceses, they have that supreme authority in spiritual matters, in matters of faith, in matters of morals, and the state has no right to infringe upon that. But it does so often. So we see that division there. And of course, even the church, even the Pope and bishops, they, even though we call it supreme authority, it's not absolute where they can do whatever they want. They are completely subject to Christ. But this is the point. Governments should acknowledge that Christ is their king. And as I said, tell me if you can find a single government, a single country that will say he is our king. The 19th century was filled with revolutions, the toppling of one monarchy after another. And does the church demand that a government be a monarchy? No, as Pope Leo XIII said, the church will acknowledge a government as long as it respects God's rights and human rights, human God-given rights. That's what the government needs to do. And the church is not a temporal kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Yes, it's true that for centuries the popes ruled that middle part of Italy called the Papal States, but that was taken away by the revolutionary hordes. And in the Lateran Treaty of 1929, I believe it was, the church relinquished her right, and the church right now has only that small enclave of the Vatican City. The Pope rules, a true Pope that is, rules spiritually, not temporally, over the church, over Catholics. But again, we have to lament the fact that Christ the King has been dethroned, uncrowned. I think it was Archbishop Lefebvre who made that the title of one of his books. I don't agree with all of the theological position, but he put it very well when he said they have uncrowned him. They still ought to, of course, rule in a normal manner, rulers of a country, but they should acknowledge who the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords is, because it does belong to him. What sense would it make to say, Christ can rule in your heart, he can rule in your parish, but he can't rule in society? Now, it has to be a loving submission to Christ. It's not something that is forced. They have to want to do it. I remember when I was preparing my Fatima conference talk on Our Lady of Fatima, I was reviewing some of the Portuguese history, and I believe it was in the 1600s that whoever was the holy king and queen of Portugal at the time said, from now on, we're not going to wear our crowns. Now, they certainly could have. But they said, we will not do it because we want to be reminded that our King is Christ and our Queen is our Blessed Mother. That's the kind of love and devotion that was in Portugal. And I am sure that this was one of the reasons why Our Lady appeared in Portugal, in a country that historically had been so Catholic and so devout. So have there been Catholic kings and queens? Absolutely. Many of them, and some of them are canonized saints. And all of them, as they wore their crowns, if in fact they did, and ruled, they did so in submission to the King of Kings. So this is the thought that I hope I can really convey today, that he ought to rule over everything. He has every right to rule over everything. The King of Love, the King who suffered and a most painful death and died on a cross for his subjects. That's how much he loves his subjects, that he died for them on the cross. So how timely, how appropriate, how important that encyclical, that action of Pope Pius XI was. Let's acknowledge Christ as our King, the King of our country. And that would, of course, include Mary being the Queen of our country. Now, we're not government officials. We don't carry a lot of might and power and sway. So as we celebrate this feast and renew and make these acts of consecration and renewal, let one thing we can do and must do is to make him King of our hearts. Make him King of your family. And this is the enthronement to the Sacred Heart. What a powerful grace that is in every family when they enthrone their homes to the King and the Queen, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we also want to be sure he's King of our parish. We want to acknowledge his rights. We want to acknowledge what he has done. You know, those words of Pilate today, what have you done? How will we answer that? Or how could Christ have answered that? What have I done? I've created you. I've died for you. I've given you everything. That's what I, as King, have done for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.